Now.
Well, good evening, brothers. Welcome to this November 2022 edition of Friday with Friday. I'm Dave Friday, Province Governor of Province 2. Thank you all for being here tonight. It's wonderful to see you. And if you're watching this in the recording after the fact, well, then you missed a heck of a good time. Let me show you what you missed. Tonight we have a present. Oh, excuse me. For those that are present in the meeting right now, do feel free to make sure that the participants tab and the chat are both active throughout the presentation so that you can see all of the other beautiful people that are here in the meeting with us tonight, and change your name to display whatever information you'd like, including but not limited to preferred name, your title, your initiating chapter, your initiation year, your pronouns, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. So in an absolute treat tonight, we have a repeat presenter, one of the original six even. So with that in mind, brothers, allow me to introduce Brother Nick Phillips. Nick is an alumni of the Mu Eta chapter at the University of Central Florida as a member of the Spring 2016 class. While he was a collegiate member, he served as both vice president and FEO. Nick has also held the position of principal alto saxophonist for the Sinfonia Winds Wind Ensemble for the last two national conventions in 2018 and in 2022. Most recently, he has been installed as the president for the Central Florida Alumni Association based in Orlando, Florida. Nick holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Music and Digital Media and is currently finishing his MBA through the University of North Texas. When not working or doing schoolwork, Nick is active in recording and producing music by composers and is currently working on putting together an album of music for saxophone and various accompaniment. The title of his talk is Transferable Skills. Brothers, please join me in welcoming Brother Nick Phillips.
Hello. So yeah, my name is Nick Phillips. Mr. Friday has already said all my information, so we're going to just get straight into it. So the reason why I wanted to do this talk is it's something that I'm currently doing within my own workplace. Currently, I work for Target and their overnight investigative center with their headquarters remotely. So essentially, what the goal of this project that we're doing amongst the team right now is, one, we are identifying the skills that we find are our strong points, and then also being able to identify the skills that we see are as weaknesses or opportunities to where we could focus on them and improve on them. Because say, for example, we want to make a shift to a different part of the team or something like that, that doesn't have a skill that we necessarily use right now, but we could transfer these skills into other positions to improve on ourselves just in general, but also use them for work life, anything like that as well. Dave, if you want to share the PDF as a file for everyone to look at, and I'll just kind of go, I'm not going to go over the entire thing because it's a lot of stuff, but I'm going to kind of hit a top five within each of these. So if we want to kind of focus in on the communication skills, because these are things that we can learn both as collegiate members, as alumni members, as probation members, as everything above like that. So just to kind of get some quick feedback from the folks that are here, what are some of these communication skills that you see in front of you? What are probably some of the more important ones that you've learned either as, collegiate members, just life in general, or things like that? Like what sticks out to you from these, here?
A big one for me is definitely responding appropriately to whatever feedback you get, whether positive or negative. Because how you react is almost as important as the feedback you get itself.
Yeah. And the thing with that, was someone else? Or am I hearing feedback, I guess?
Gordon, I see that you have unmuted. That might be feedback coming through your end.
Maybe. I was just getting ready to speak, but...
Oh, well, Gordon, go right ahead.
For me, as public speaking, I know a lot of people are like terrified to speak in front of others, but to me, it's not a big deal. I think because being a performer, right, you just get used to the idea that is what it is. Now, of course, all the writing skills and the group discussion skills.
Yeah. So to piggyback on both of those real quick. So yeah, responding appropriately to positive and negative feedback, that's important, not just as a person in general, but as a musician as well. Like, we feed off of criticism. So to get better at what we do, that's a very important part of anything that we do. So especially as musicians, especially as people in general, that's a very important one to have. Probably not one that people think about as much, because I don't know if people are still having to are forced to take a public speaking or speech class in general. I do know it was definitely part of my high school, early college stuff. But public speaking, 100%, because the more confident you are in how you deliver, especially in how you deliver what you're talking about, the more people are going to be able to tag on, believe as to what you're actually talking about or trying to get them to jump on board with and subscribe to. If that makes sense. But just a couple other ones that I had for my own highlights from this section were speaking effectively. So just kind of like what I was saying before, as long as you can speak to what you are speaking to, then it makes it a whole lot easier for other folks to, one, understand, and then, two, be involved. All the people get to smash the like, let me read that. To smash the subscribe button. Yes, exactly. And then the other two ones, oh yeah, so the other two ones would be negotiating, which is in that second column there. Negotiating, because of course, anything that we do, I'd say 99.9% of the time, you are not working on your own. You are not your entire business on your own. So you're gonna have to work with teams. So being able to negotiate whenever either one, a position is brought up that doesn't exactly line up with what you're thinking, but being able to figure out their perspective and go from there to work as a team is extremely important. And then going into that is being able to facilitate the group discussion beyond that, because that way you're able to appreciate those different perspectives and then work towards the goals that you have, either as a club, business, whatever it happens to be. That way you can actually go forward from that position and not either be stagnant or, even worse, fall behind. Anything else?
Oh. Yeah. One that's overlooked so much, and it's so important because people overlook it, nonverbal.
Yep.
Because if you can't read nonverbal or body language, you're in trouble.
Yep, I'm trying to figure out where or why I didn't have that in here as one of my highlights. But yes, but nonverbal communication is extremely important. Like being like the too long don't read version, being able to read the room.
It's on there. I've got it highlighted.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like for my own notes.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. No, you're good.
Yeah, that actually, I'm reading all of these and trying to apply them to my professional situation as a community college instructor. And Aaron's saying the nonverbal messages, there is such a huge difference between teaching over the internet versus teaching face-to-face. And it is 100% the nonverbal messages. The looks that I get from my students as I'm explaining the conversion between exponential and logarithmic form, or describing how, you know, partial derivatives do lead to the equation of a tangent plane. It's so nice being back in the classroom and seeing those beautiful looks that I get from my students.
Well, nonverbal messages is why I will never, ever be able to wait tables. My face says things my mouth won't or shouldn't. But if you can read my face, you can tell within 5 minutes what I think of you.
Yeah. But before we move on, anything else regarding this section? Any particular examples that y'all can think of from your time as collegiates or just life in general?
Not just writing clearly and concisely, but speaking that way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was one I was going to say. I don't remember.
Is it okay if I cut in then?
No.
Too bad. I'm the host. You're muted. I'm going to go with interviewing. I think that interviewing is something that we tend to do even if we don't realize that we're doing it, because interviewing is gathering information on somebody and deciding whether or not they're going to be a good fit for whatever we have for them. Probationary members get interviewed as part of the probationary process, because the Collegiate Brothers of the chapter, especially the FEO, are trying to figure out if they are a good fit for the chapter. When we have discussions on electing officers at the collegiate level, we are going through a little mini interview as soon as we get to the discussion phase of what's going on, because we are asking them questions and trying to figure out if they are going to be a good fit for whatever position we have for them. These transfer over into the professional world incredibly well, because usually on your in attempting to get a job, obviously there's going to be an interview process, but on your first day of work, the ability to have quick chats or quick interviews with your coworkers and find out who is going to be beneficial to have around you and who is going to be detrimental to having around you is just so important. Yep. So not just interviewing, but your ability to be interviewed. That's yep. good too.
1,000%.
And I remember facilitating group discussions. There's been numerous meetings I've been in my past, just like year and a half of working, that there is so much dead silence and dead space because the leader of the group and myself have not, you know, don't have the right tools to facilitate group discussions. And I'm slowly gaining those skills, but it's like having that to make sure discussions are, you know, on track, moving and not stagnant is incredibly important.
Yep. And if anyone is a reader, I picked up a book about a year ago. This is kind of more about persuasion, negotiating from different perspectives and things like that. But it's a book called Verbal Judo. And I forget the author's name. I don't have the book. I lent it to someone else who's using it for work right now. But it's kind of like a little, like, not super thick book. It's not any of the Harry Potter books, put it that way. But basically kind of goes over how to persuade one from one point of an argument to your side, and really enforcing the reasons why, which is really important for communication. It's not just, hey, do this, but here, let's do this, and here's why. If that makes sense. But Brother Dave, if we can slide on down to the next section there. So research planning and investigation. So may not be one that immediately screams to you whenever you think Phi Mu Alpha or music, unless you're a music historian or something like that. But at the same time, as we start kind of reading through these and all that, ones like identifying problems or imagining alternatives or gathering information or setting goals, these are all things that as brothers and as chapters in general or alumni associations or any seaboards or anything that you happen to do with either the fraternity or real life in general, these are incredibly important skills to have. Probably my top one would be setting goals, mainly because if you can't set a goal, you don't know how to, like, where your destination to get there is. And then you could do these other steps I mentioned previously, but it won't matter because you don't have a goal that you're working towards. You're just potentially blindly seeking things out for any reason. And yeah, if anything, before I keep on and just ramble, does anyone have any thoughts about research planning investigation? Yes. Do with purpose. Oh, and then Aaron, thank you so much. Yeah, that's the exact book right there. For those that are in the chat.
I'm trying to find a better link, because that one is just ugly.
Gotcha. But yeah, from what I'm seeing and reading, yes, that should be the book right there.
I agree with your analysis that this one is a little bit more difficult to talk about at the chapter level, but I'd say the big ones that stand out to me are definitely the setting goals, which you have already done, and defining needs, especially for our chapters right now. A lot of chapters have been struggling through recruitment and COVID and the national emergency for these last 3 years. Some of them don't even know what they need at this point. You know, average chapter size is down across the board. So the primary thing that they need is support recruiting. Whereas we alumni brothers and province officers can't necessarily be on the ground helping them out with recruitment. You know, we can't go to every single one of our campuses and start screaming, FIMU Alpha is great. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that obviously it is.
Yeah.
So defining needs, I think, is really important.
The other two that kind of spoke to me a little bit, and it's more just from what I have done before, is looking at the development of evaluation strategies, the second column, and then also formulating questions. Because whenever I was vice president, like working on organizing all the committees and things like that, for me, it was super duper important to where we were asking ourselves as a chapter, as individuals, if what we were doing was the best, either one, the best way to do it or the best thing to do. So being able to like develop these strategies to where we can say that, oh yeah, like this has been working for us or this hasn't been working for us. Being able to look back on what we've been doing and judge whether or not we should continue to do it or not.
Three that caught my eye are 3, 4, and 5 on the first column, identifying problems, imagining alternatives, and identifying resources. If you're able to pull those three off, you can keep your group, and in this case chapter, in a far better set of good than anything else. Because you identify the problem, you fix it.
Yeah.
If you have a problem, then if you can imagine a different way of doing things, there's your alternative, and you need to know what your resources are. Or if you don't have any, you need to know that.
So I think, like, sort of going off with that, another one that's really important that I don't think anyone's mentioned is the forecasting and predicting. Because I don't know about y'all, but when I was a collegiate member, there was a lot of discussions, especially around like springtime. It's like, hey, we have, you know, like 6 brothers going alumni. We need to recruit extra hard, you know, the fall and the spring prior. So being able to actually look forward and seeing what work is ahead of you can also help out a lot. So that way you don't necessarily have to do like all your recruiting in one semester. You can try to split up in between to make up for what's happening in the future.
100%. Yeah. And just like you said, that's important. Like I almost keep it up with like, if you want to maintain a chapter par, almost, if that makes sense. So like, what's an example? So like, say for example, you're ordering probation member supplies, and say that you want to always make sure that you have, let's say, 20 sets of materials like themes book, pin, anything else that you might supply for and things like that. Then being able to say that, oh, by the end of the year, or maybe at the end of each semester, depending on how your chapter wants to do it, like, being able to actually say that, oh, like this is going to be a thing. Let's order more of these now. Cause I know, especially right now, supply is an issue for chapters everywhere. I mean, I'm helping, my home chapter Mueda right now. They're kind of going through some stuff, and Rollins Sigma Eta down the street from us, we're having some supply issues. I mean, thankfully we had enough, alumni brothers and collegiate brothers who had extra, had their themes book or PM pin to where they could use those in the meantime. But being able to plan that, granted, we couldn't, like, can't always plan for international global supply chain vendor issues, things like that. So, I mean, there's only so much you can do with things like with that in those regards to physical materials, but being able to plan, like what you're saying, Parker, to do forecasting and predicting for recruitment. That's absolutely a very good goal for chapters to have.
I had something on that as well. Just as a for example, hey, the guy we've had to play piano for us for the last 3 years is now graduating, and we now have zero piano players within the chapter to help us out with song rehearsals or what have you. So
yep.
Little predicting can go a long way.
I mean, I could play melodica. That works, right?
It's basically the same instrument.
No.
I suggest we do a total ritual with just melodicas.
Is it possible to expel a member of the COS for conduct unbecoming?
Parker, I would like to submit to you the name Parker Thompson as somebody that you personally are going to have to investigate.
Crap.
Might be slightly biased. I don't know.
Yeah, I have to, you know, remove myself from this situation.
So metaphorically or literally in this case, I don't know. But yes, but thank you guys. So moving on to human relations and interpersonal skills. For me, my top three, at least in this section, were developing rapport. One, because if you can't develop rapport with people who have similar interests to you, as in the fraternity in general, then how on earth are you going to be able to work with people that may not have similar interests or are dissimilar or anti-interests to what you have? So say, for example, I'm very much a music person, but if I were to work in a team where it was all very much, I don't know, like hunting or a gun crazy club or something like that, but examples, things like that. But being able to develop rapport amongst the most diverse crowds is incredibly invaluable. Moving on to my next highlight for this section is being able to be motivating, because there are going to be times where as a collegiate member, honorary member, any member of the fraternity, or in your real life on teams and work like that, to where crap hits a fan. And then sometimes you got to be able to pull the team forward, get them out of the mud, and get them to go forward. So being able to be motivating toward your team is another one of those invaluable skills for me. And then the other one, which I think could have gone between a few of these different sections overall, but teaching and instructing others. As an FEO, obviously teaching is a big part of the gig. Not just PMs, but also collegiate members as well. But also being able to provide the opportunities for learning, because especially one, it helps get everyone onto a similar page going forward, but also it helps to further develop what the chapter is looking like. Just how strong that chapter could be on an educational basis or informational basis, whatever it may happen to be. Also, welcome, Alex. How's it going?
Can't complain. Sorry, I'm a little late. Just got home from a work thing, so sorry about that.
You're all good.
No worries. Welcome. Happy to have you here.
As I get so situated, don't mind me.
You're all good. Not to throw it under the bus, but we're currently talking about the human relations interpersonal section. So basically, the too long don't read version of everything we've been talking about so far. These are all skills that are viewed as workplace, life in general skills that we can have to help better ourselves, better our teams, to where we can take that next step and go forward from where we are currently. Do any of these speak to you on a level of either one, your time as a collegiate? I'm not sure if you're still collegiate or if you're alumni now, but from your time as a collegiate alumni or work life, any of these happen to speak to you directly?
Well, so at a glance, just my work life, I'm a sales rep with 700 accounts when it comes to selling products that most collegiates are not of age to partake in legally. I will leave it at that. But definitely listening, cooperating, keeping the group on track. And then, because I do a lot in the city with multicultural, language barrier is always a huge issue I have with a lot of accounts where with ESL and trying to understand and not rush them in when I'm trying to get them to repeat themselves. And just where I am now, I'm the province 27 treasurer.
Gotcha. A
few weeks ago, maybe. We still need to open that bank account, but that's what I'll be doing.
I can dig it. And then also kudos to the sales gig. I used to do sales. I couldn't keep up with it. So kudos to you, man.
Oh, I have some stories from when we are not recording anymore. So
I can dig it. Parker, what you got?
So with all of this, all good stuff, all right? All good stuff you highlighted, all good stuff Alex highlighted, but none of it can work without your baseline of being patient. If you can't be patient, you can't build a rapport. If you aren't patient, it's really hard to listen. It's really hard to stay motivated without being patient. All of it built off that foundation of being patient. And if you can't be that, you can't do basically anything on this list. All the stuff we looked at and the stuff that's to come, all that's off that baseline of being patient.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you bring that up, because it's something that for me, for being patient, I look at this from my own perspective and all that, and I see myself as being more patient, to where that might not be as much of a an issue for me. But yeah, 100% though, I agree with you. If you can't be patient, then a lot of this becomes exponentially harder, if not borderline impossible for some folks, whether or not you can achieve that or not. So 100%. Oh, and then Alex, to provide you some more clarification, looking at this, traditionally, what we do with this is we take each of these skills, rank ourselves from 1 to 5, 1 being terrible, 5 being the best, do ourselves, have a peer evaluate us or multiple peers, and then basically use this to identify how we can develop our opportunities and go from there. So if that helps to put that clarification there. Excellent. Anyone else for human relations and interpersonal skills?
So I put a box around a couple of these, and I would say that this definitely applies to my professional career more than it did my time as a collegiate brother. But listening, helping others, and delegating with respect, special emphasis on the delegating with respect. Many years ago, I used to be an employee for a couple different pizza places, one of which was Domino's. Domino's is worldwide the second largest pizza chain, right behind Pizza Hut, as far as total gross is concerned. So they have big time policies in place when they come to your store for an audit or when they come to evaluate you. My auditor is one of the greatest guys that I've ever met, and we only interacted for maybe an hour or two. This is due to the fact that as we were talking, I can see that he was subtly doing a lot of these things as far as human relations and interpersonal stuff is concerned. And he gave me a couple of tips. And the one that sticks out is delegating with respect. Anybody who ever has to use the phrase, "You'll do it because I'm your boss," or "You'll do it because I'm telling you to," is not delegating with respect. Even something as subtle as getting me an extra box of cheese from the fridge. You got to make them feel like they're doing you a favor and that you are appreciative of said favor. "Hey man, it would be really helpful if you could grab me a box of cheese from the walk-in. I'd really appreciate it." And then when they actually do it, thank them for it, emphasize that it was good of them to do so. Could I walk back there and grab the cheese? Absolutely. Can I make somebody who is earning easily $7.25 an hour to go do it for me? Probably. Yeah, big money.
Also, before we head on, welcome, Brother Conway. How are we doing?
I'm all right. Get ready to leave the house and to my car.
Gotcha. We got a little Friday with Friday podcast for you then on your trip in.
All right.
Why don't we turn these into podcasts? I think it'd be a good time.
They are recorded and distributed relatively well, I think. I intend to make no money off of Friday with Friday. I don't feel like monetizing myself.
That would be an excellent trademark, though.
I am not making money off of that web server for this. This is free.
Boo.
Well, if anything, if you ever wanted to, I know I forget who it was that was doing the Symphoniacast, but he talked to them about partnering up.
It was Ryan Smith. I've been on his podcast several times.
There we go. Well, cool. Well, excellent. Well, let's move on to work survival. So again, and like in the document here, it's not put in quotes, but for me, as like far as talking about putting it to the fraternity, I kind of put it as work survival in air quotes, because I don't call Symphonia work, because like Symphonia is a passion for me. And I always thank you so much, Dave. But for me, the highlights of this section were cooperation, enforcing policies, being punctual. Being punctual is a big one. Taking initiative in duties. But those are the four big ones for me. Being punctual. There we go. You may have heard the saying, to be early is to be on time, to be on time is to be late, and to be late is unforgivable. For those that, I mean, we're all involved in music in some of the relations, so we may have heard a variation of that at some point. But being early, is like what we were saying earlier, is being respectful of people's time, to where that way the efforts of those who are on time are not wasted by those who don't show up on time. Enforcing policies is a big one, especially for chapters. If someone does something wrong, make sure that it's handled correctly. Like, especially, I mean, heaven forbid it's anything ever had to do with hazing, but if you could see the warning signs, make sure that you could take care of that early, because that way it doesn't lead to something bigger later on. Cooperation. Again, Symphonia is one of those things where it's not a one-person deal. You have to be able to work with others, much like developing rapport from the previous section. You need to be able to cooperate with others no matter what, because that way we're working towards the same goal in the end. And then taking initiative and duties. This one, for me at least, is more of one of my own personal highlights, I would say, mainly just because this is something I take a lot of pride and passion in myself. I don't like to procrastinate. I don't like to sit and wait to the last minute. I like to have things very much in hand, to where I could walk up to the gig, as I like to say, and just play the gig and everything's good to go. To where if I have, for example, with CFAA, I've already planned out, I haven't scheduled it yet, but I've already planned out our first January meeting after our province workshop, to where we can kick off 2023 in January and start moving swiftly after that. But being able to do things early, to where that way you could share, especially for event information, to share that much earlier, to where more people are able to ask for time off, for example, to where they're much more able to be involved. But these were just some from my perspective for work survival. But what are some things for y'all, like things that y'all have seen in business or fraternity or just in general life, what speaks to you?
I'll pipe up here. Attention to detail to me is key, both because of, in my particular job choices, usually have, it's been an essential. I'm often been a QA or test engineer. And like, if you can't attend to detail, you can't do this job. But I also find myself really frustrated by people whose attention to detail is poor because it makes more work for me.
Yeah. And that's one of those quality of life things that could make other aspects suffer. So like, if someone can't do the attention to detail, it makes potentially the cooperation suffer, or it puts a negative impact on them to develop rapport, looking at things like organizing, it could make that suffer. It could make a bunch of different things suffer.
One thing that sticks out to me is discerning appropriate behaviors for the workplace. Know when your sense of humor shouldn't show.
And if anything, I kind of attribute this to, like, I could just call this one word. I could just call it professionalism, which is just a huge thing. That's something that I had been speaking with Mueda about recently, is looking at professionalism. Because, I mean, we are, in writing, we are not a professionalist group. We're like we're a social fraternity. However, being able to, being able to still aspire to achieve that level of professionalism, to be the man of the highest type, quote unquote, to where that way we can get to that space. Even though it's not like listed as, oh, we're a professional organization, like we should still be using this to elevate ourselves above what others think of what people think fraternities are.
Back in the golden olden days, and Gordon might be able to see this the same way I was, we were told that, and this, I came in not long after the professional side of it was shot. I was told we're a social fraternity with professional goals. And that sticks and it works, but you still have to be careful with that one.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, for me personally, I wouldn't mind the professional tag being put back onto us, because I think in a lot of chapters where it might put away people, or especially music majors, from joining the chapter for whatever reason or another, it might help to fix that, in my opinion, at least put it that way. But then again, that could just be a matter of, oh, that skill needs some work on by the chapter as a whole. So sometimes that has to be a thing as well.
One of the things that I put up here in a box for me is managing time and stress, which I would gladly put into two separate categories for what I'm about to tell you. On Mondays and Wednesdays, I teach a section of multivariable calculus that starts at 8 p.m. We usually wrap up around 9:45 p.m. And there's usually a slew of students who is busy during the day with other endeavors than being a student, that usually have a lot of questions, one of whom is particularly conversational. And I would like to state this for the record, and we are being recorded. I love the conversations that we have. I truly do. However, when you are starting conversations at 10 p.m., they tend to eat into what I would consider to be my personal time. Now, Tuesdays and Thursdays, my first class of the day is at 11:30 a.m., which means that if I am indulging in these conversations until, you know, 11 o'clock at night, then by the time I commute home, tend to the cats, and actually set myself up to decompress for the day, it's probably midnight, which means that I have very specific goals about how I need to manage my time for the rest of the day. I have told the individuals in that class, I don't mind giving them a little bit of time, but if it's more than a 15-minute conversation, let's have it at some other point in time. Being able to tell them that and to set that boundary rather than simply indulging has made my Tuesday and Thursday mornings considerably nicer. If I'm spending all of that time and energy with one particular student, I am no longer able to tend to an entire class full of students the next day. Sacrificing interesting conversations for the sake of an entire class seems like a worthy endeavor as far as I'm concerned. Managing stress, wow, I can't recommend racquetball enough for that. A semi-athletic sport where you get to whack something as hard as you can against a solid wall. Oh, it's nothing quite like it.
I used to be on a bowling league. I need to start it back up because I would name the head pin.
Yep. Managing stress has been something. I don't know. Different people's offices, companies, things like that may put it in different lights, but I know, especially with Target, there's been a push for managing stress more and more lately and saying, hey, like, you have this well-being time, you have this, that time, the other, you have these services, go and use them. So obviously we don't have anything like that built into chapters and stuff like that. But, I mean, like, you have like retreats and stuff. Yes, use your PTO. Absolutely. But being able to figure out a way to manage your stress, because especially if it's something that you're passionate about, then don't let that be the cause of further stress, because then that's just going to take away from what you actually enjoy doing.
I got a couple things to tack on. I apologize. I was having another conversation with someone, so I was listening a little bit. Attending to detail, you know, big thing, you know, do things right the first time as opposed to having to go back and fix them. And I found two others. I think they're both very useful, but when they're together, it sounds kind of contradictory: enlisting help and accepting responsibility, because you got to have that nice balance of both. In order to, especially when you're starting out, you know, you want to be accepting more responsibilities, but there's a limit, you know, to how much you can physically handle. So it's accepting enough responsibility and then being able to enlist, you know, just a little bit of help for those other side projects. Like, hey, like, it would be, you know, it would be really great if you could, you know, go get that box of cheese from the fridge for me. That, you know, really helped me out a lot if you could do that, and not, you know, relying on someone's like, hey, can you do this? Can you just go make this pizza for me really quick? And find that nice balance between responsibility and delegating.
Yep. 100%. I mean, again, like with this position, I started with the national headquarters here is enlisting the help. Because I've taken on we call it a captainship basically, but basically it's a little project where we're basically starting to collect data, just collecting data to where we could say, like, well, for mine, for example, is excessive alarm triggers just for no reason, either false triggers or because people aren't using alarms correctly. So basically being able to take that information, put it into a thing, contact stores, be like, hey, let's fix a thing to where it's not that much of an issue. But for me in particular, I could do the data entry part. That was super duper easy. But being able to recognize how the software and the application was used to where we can make it better, to where we can actually pull graphs and data from it that way, to where we can actually present it in a, like, in a one pager, for example, to our partners above us or other regional and national partners, and saying, hey, like, this is an issue. like, obviously they're doing their part to fix it, but what have y'all been doing? And then we get support from them to also help fix it as well. But being able to, like you said, ask for the help to where you can become better at what you're doing, or to delegate a little bit, just makes the business life a lot easier.
And one more thing, a lot of things is learn how to manage your stress level, and sometimes have a nice little venting area, because the last thing you want to do is to have, let's just say, a subordinate of yours witness you destroy your phone over Uber Eats delivery. I'm not going to say that I know this from experience, but read between the lines.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Anything else for work survival before we move on to the next section? All right, brothers, we proceed forward to organization management, leadership, and decision-making. So this is one of the bigger sections, and these are the things that we'll more experience much more regularly than the things that we'd see in like research planning, for example. But some of the things that we've already been kind of hinting at a little bit throughout the night is coordinating tasks, being able to delegate, managing conflict. So wardens, especially whenever you're in chapters and all that, being able to handle those issues, conducting meetings, wardens, presidents, just being able to put yourself in a good spot in general. Conducting meetings is about halfway areas. Yep. And then the last one for me, I was in a highlight for the section, was following up with others to evaluate progress. This is more from like my time as vice president, again, doing a lot of committee stuff and everything to make sure the folks were keeping up on what they needed to do. Did the fundraising committee actually set up their fundraiser? Are they meeting their goals? Are we meeting our goals as a chapter to raise the money that we wanted to? Kind of what Parker was saying earlier. If you did the forecasting to where you could say that, oh, we're trying to get X amount of brothers initiated over the next part of the year or two semesters as Brothers Go alumni. Those are things to where we could make sure that we're keeping to ourselves and meeting goals, as we were talking about earlier.
So I got two real quick to, you know, add to that list that I feel they're not always, some of the, it's kind of looked over and sort of not, both the coaching and mentoring and counseling, because both of those could be, you know, something you see all the time, but as well, those are those, like, you know, kind of in between discussions, just, you know, building up that rapport. It's like, hey, how's it going? Like, do you have everything you need? Do you need any help? Or like, how's this project going? Or it's like, hey, I need help with this. It's like, all right, have you tried this? And doing that will not only help that person, it'll help the entire organization become better. And thus, you know, building better people so then they can do the same thing. And it's a cycle.
Yep. I would also attribute those to, in the second column, looking at managing groups, promoting change, and encouraging and inspiring to go along with those. And also, like to a similar point, I wouldn't say you're selling an idea or product with Sinfonia, just kind of like just a little bit above where your cursor is currently, Dave. But being able to convince others in the chapter to say, like, hey, this is important. I mean, some of these things we shouldn't have to convince very hard, if not convince at all. But there, we have a lot of ideals that are just great and should, and we should act on like regardless. But being able to promote that more and more. Anyone else? I mean, again, this is very much more, I think, one of the more general ones that we could all identify with easier, I would say.
Carefully taking risks. You got to be careful with risks.
Yep. There was a section in the research planning investigation that spoke about analyzing risks earlier. So I'll put those two together. But yeah, I would say as long as I've been a Symphonian that I haven't seen, or at least within my home chapter, we haven't seen a reason to kind of reinvent the wheel for certain things. But at the same time, promoting change kind of earlier can be helpful as well. Okay, depending on what's going on and what the issue or what the event may happen to be, sometimes it's a good thing. But like you said, take risk carefully.
I think along the lines of solving problems or mediating, there has to be the ability to identify problems as well. Literally the first step in solving any problem is being aware that there is a problem. I'm thinking of a lot of different things that have taken place over my career of teaching, and being able to identify, especially behavioral issues early in a semester, is super important to solving them, to encourage others to come around to a new way of thinking that, you know, perhaps showing up 5 minutes late and immediately striking up a conversation with somebody in class is maybe not the best way to learn calculus.
Yep. And to kind of touch on it, again, with the identifying the issues or identifying problems, that was up with the research planning investigation. So, but yeah, again, these are skills that go everywhere. So like some of these, like we could put them in multiple boxes, but 100%, like you said, being able to identify the issue is step number one.
Yeah, most definitely. I must have looked over that, or perhaps I'm so focused in on, you know, this that I may have missed it. But you are right. There are a lot of things in here that that apply to multiple categories up here.
Yeah, no, you're all good. Yeah, and like by no means, I'm not the author of this. This is just something that we've been working with my teams, and something I thought that was very important for us, just in general. So, but yeah. But anything else before we move on to financial management, which is something that all of us as Symphonians do.
I do have one last thing. Identifying people who can contribute to solutions of problems or tasks. That is a big thing, especially when it comes time, you know, for like nominations or whatever, for chapter offices, province offices, or even, you know, hell, like, you know, national offices. It's one thing for a person to, you know, sell themselves. But if other people can say like, yeah, this is the guy we want. Yeah, we want Kyle Coleman to, you know, be, you know, president, you know, that takes a lot as well. And that's something that I feel is overlooked at times if people aren't actively searching for that. And Dave, is that what I think it is? What's in it? Is it what I think it is?
It's water. Hydrate or dihydrate, my dude.
Is it water or college water? Because there's a fine difference.
There it is.
It's water. We're recording.
Yeah. Hydrate or dihydrate, my dude.
I guess kind of off that, something I was famous for at Towson, which is where I was when we had younger groups, and if I thought, hey, you could be e-board. See if they want a smaller job. Like, all right, you're a first semester brother. Go for social committee. Go for ARO. Use that as your springboard to be, say you want to be FEO or vice president, president. Use something else as kind of a springboard, as like a prove it job where you can say, hey, look, I did this well. Or the rest of the chapter can see, hey, they didn't do such a good job on this. Why give them more?
Yeah, it's very much a test. And it, for me, I've always enjoyed the fraternity for this reason, because Phi Mi Alpha provides opportunities in multiple ways for us, right? So like one of the biggest examples I always tell folks all the time is whenever I first tried rushing for the for Mi Ueda back in fall 2011, I was dropped halfway through my process. But I took that as one of those moments in my life where I said, hey, like, obviously there's some things that I've got to work on and fix, to where that way, whenever I came back, I was able to not only have those issues fixed, but move very much like far past that, to the point where I don't like, and people ask me if I regret, like, or if I have any salty feelings about it and all that. And it's like, no, because like that gave me the opportunity to become a better version of myself. So 100%. So being able to, now, like, providing the opportunity to go after different positions within the chapter, things like that, it gives them a chance to either say that, hey, like, this is the person that I want to be, or this is the person that we want to eventually get into this position. It's like a soft opportunity for them to show the chapter, like, hey, I can do this, or I can't do this, or here's where I need help, to where I can do this, to where the chapter comes together to work together to help make everyone better, to where everyone can be better as a chapter. So 100%. But yeah, but let's scoot on down to financial management. So I'm going to leave the fourth highlight for last of this section, at least, that we've probably all seen as far as chapters and things like that. But something that I think that we could all take from this section, just as life in general, right, would being able to develop a budget accurately, estimating expenses and income. So now, obviously, we're not going to all have the same levels of income or expenses, or I don't think any chapter makes money the same way as we make money as working.
Ooh, excuse me.
Which I think that'd be kind of interesting if they did. Maybe they just fundraise an absolute crap ton, who knows? But being able to keep the records that accurate, which would be awesome. And especially in your own personal life, that would be great. Or if you ever get into accounting as a job, that's literally what you do. keeping an accurate and complete financial record. Yeah. Like literally just what I just said, because especially in the chapter and all that, if money's missing, something's up. So every little receipt, every penny, everything, everywhere, keep an eye on it. Ensuring the timeliness of payments. I've only seen a couple different variations on pay your dues already in the chat. But ensure the timeliness of payments or forever hold your peace, because every brother will come hunt you down. But then obviously the one that we're probably most familiar with from this section in terms of chapters and doing that, at least, is fundraising. Being able to fundraise is one of those things to where we can support ourselves even whenever we don't have enough income via our own member dues to support the chapter. Now, granted, I don't think it's because national dues are on. Yes. So if you already haven't paid your national dues, please make sure you pay those, which I'm sure there are probably people that haven't paid their stuff yet, but you know. So yeah, so those are the four for me. Obviously we don't invest as a chapter, which would be kind of weird, and I don't think we'd technically even be able to do that. But being able to develop a budget accurately, estimate expenses and income, make sure your books are good, timeliness of payments, and fundraising would be my top four unless y'all have any personal experiences within the fraternity that the others, well, projecting and forecasting of, like, again, we kind of talked about with looking at brothers coming in and out, but also being able to see that, oh, like, we might have a project we want to do, or we may want to invest in some new or refurbish some equipment, things like that would be some things to look at with those.
Yeah, I put a red box around what's important here.
Yeah. I can dig it.
So I think I got a little bit of a hot take. I don't think it is, but, you know. So with the investing, I was thinking about it. It's like, no, we can't go, you know, buy real estate or stocks or bonds or anything. But if we invest back into the brothers in the chapter, there's a chance, you know, chapters could grow just by investing back into the brothers by incentives, you know. Some incentive, like, you know, you could do something like, you know, chapter due, like reduction for, you know, whatever recruitment thing for volunteering so many hours. Investing back into the chapter could produce more money on the other end, you know, investing those stocks.
Yeah. I've seen where some chapters will do a semester dues forgiveness. So, like, sometimes people will be way in over their heads with, like, stacking multiple classes, things like that. Or sometimes life just happens to just say, hey, you know what, screw this guy, and go from there. But yeah, so I mean, obviously we aren't going to start buying Sinfonia coin or something like that, or not yet. I don't know. Just kidding. But oh, yeah,
it's on the brain now. Sinfonia coin.
Yep. Or no, I'll say that for later on. But like I said, being able to invest back in the chapter members themselves. So, like, doing scholarships is something that I know a lot of the alumni associations will do, to where I say, hey, like, do an essay, Symphony Coin, there you go. But yes, but doing things like scholarships to where we can send people to national conventions or send people to firesides eventually. Hello, Brother Pierce. But yeah, but there are many things that we could talk about with that. But anything else before we move on to critical thinking, problem solving?
I had a quick one on that. One thing that has come out of the national staff basically since I've been a brother has been buy your letters from the Sinfonia store. And the reason is always that way we're keeping the money within the system of Sinfonia. Talking about investing within our own brothers, if we buy our letters from the Sinfonia store and they are beautiful and they are now customizable, as opposed to going to whatever, you know, Greek store you happen to have on or near your campus, that's a good way to invest our dollars within our organization, not even at the chapter level, but at the national level.
True. Yeah. And there's also Smile.Sinfonia, or Smile.Amazon, rather. Smile.Sinfonia is a different thing. Don't ask.
But cool. But thanks, y'all. And moving on to our last section here, critical thinking, problem solving. Stephen, just to kind of catch you up on what is going on with this. This is a document where we kind of evaluate ourselves on a number of different skills through workplace life that we develop. Usually rank yourself 1 to 5, 1 being terrible, 5 being awesome. Rank yourself and have a peer rank you, see what opportunities you have to grow and things like that. But critical thinking, problem solving, just to kind of get my highlights in real quick. The first one would be anticipating problems before they occur. So we've already mentioned this a few times, but being able to project and forecast. Again, I think we just could have copy-pasted that into 3 different sections and just called it there. I think we kind of like, but we've already spoken about this one in a few different ways, so I'm not going to dig into this one. Identifying possible solutions and selecting the most appropriate ones. We've kind of dug into this one as well, but obviously with any problem, there are multiple solutions. Sometimes the solutions may not be the best one, so we have to figure out which one is the best one for us. And then the other one that I had was involving group members to evaluate solutions. So this is kind of like one of those things where it helps to improve the overall health of the organization as well, because again, Find Me Alpha is not a one person gig. It's everyone. Like it's harmony amongst brothers, to where that way we can make the entire organization better for all of us. And that's pretty much that one I have for those. But if anyone has anything here from this section that they can think of, either in Symphonia related topics or work life in general, let's hear what you got.
You just gave a perfect example of identifying a general principle that explains interrelated experience.
Yeah.
How does what you do within the fraternity work? How do you make this translate here? And how can you take the stuff that you learn here and put back in the chapter or the province? Sometimes you have to wiggle that process in there to make it work. But there are ways.
Yep. And it's kind of like with especially with these talks here, we've had brothers give conversations and on topics that are directly related to the fraternity. We've had folks give presentations on things that are not directly related. I've done three presentations, I think have not been directly related to the fraternity. The very first one I gave was using technology, like mics, cameras, things like that. Like as COVID was kicking off, how we could develop and make our, presentations and our digital presence that much better, especially as we continue to go forward, as COVID is still a thing, and as remote work becomes more and more of a common thing amongst us now. But then being able to, like you were saying, Aaron, being able to take this information, get it to as many folks as possible, because are these topics that we're going to apply for everyone? Probably sometimes, not always, but it's something like this. That I've seen. He's from North Carolina, but did the presentation on developing the chapter history.
John Heath.
Yeah. But that's one that at least that could go to all brothers if they ever wanted to develop those projects for their own chapter. Like that would be awesome. But being able to take the information from things like this, from province workshops, and being able to take it to your chapters, to where that way it doesn't end on this presentation here, for example. And hello, Brother John. How are you, sir?
Doing great, thank you.
Yep. But cool. And then, Dave, I saw that you highlighted multitasking. So what do you have for that?
I did highlight multitasking. In our increasing digital age, I have found, especially with the younger generation of brothers, not necessarily that everybody has ADD, but I see a lot of people that exhibit symptoms of it, whether or not they have an actual diagnosis. With that in mind, when you're on a task, you are probably thinking about another task. As I was grading earlier today, I realized how badly I needed to clean the litter box right next to me, which reminded me of an odor in my kitchen, which reminded me that I needed to go do my dishes, which reminded me that I need to generally clean up in my kitchen area. And so my mind started going among all of these different tasks that I was doing. I don't know if this is a me thing or if this is a we thing, but when I think of the other things that I have to do, it actually helps me to focus on the task at hand to remind myself I have to finish this one before I go do the next one.
I can see that.
I'm sort of in that boat with you there, Dave. It either overwhelms me or it makes me focus.
And there is literally no in between.
No.
No. Nope.
I've been working from home for, 2.5 years now. I have 2 monitors for my stuff, 3 monitors for work, and I'm bouncing all around the place. And I still get things done, maybe not as much as some of my coworkers or managers would like, but I haven't killed anybody yet. Nobody's server's gone down because of me.
That's something.
Yes, it is. 700 accounts. Yes.
I do have something constructive to add to this conversation. I was thinking about the creating innovative solutions to complex problems. And the first thing that came to mind was recruiting. Because, yeah, it's like, all right, our chapter is law and numbers. What do? Recruit. How do you recruit? We hold events. Okay, what events? And it just sort of spirals down. It's like, it is a very complicated problem, whether you realize it or not. And being able to identify it and come up with something that's different, because there's a lot of, you know, rush ideas out there. We can look at, you know, chapter to chapter within our fraternity. We can look to other fraternities and sororities. But coming up with a brand new idea to get people involved, that's the big ticket.
Yep. Parker, you mentioned looking at other fraternities. I'm actually reaching out to some folks in other Greek organizations as far as alumni engagement to work on developing and rebuilding the CFAA, because essentially we haven't really been active since COVID kicked off, which I imagine a lot of other groups probably are in a similar boat. But being able to talk with them, seeing how they're able to recover, things like that, and ways that they've been able to not rebuild the wheel, but get the wheel spinning again, if that makes sense.
If you're looking for ideas to get the Alumni Association, you know, back active again, talk to Corey Bissell with the Alumni Association of the Rockies. I believe he's the president of the association. I think you could also talk to Aaron, too. He's involved with the Atlanta Area Alumni Association, correct?
The Quad A.
The Quad A. Ah! But, you know, talk to them because they're doing stuff right.
We just meet and eat. The new group for the Quad A is actually wanting to do things, which is absolutely cool.
Yeah,
we're not going to let you have Ann Arbor.
Yep, it's one of those things where it's almost like we're working to fix like a muscle atrophy, if that makes sense. Still there, just got to get it working again. So, but with that, it's just for me, for example, it's just like making sure that the meetings happen regardless. Go to the things, be involved with the chapters and all that. Show that, hey, we do exist and we do want you, and that your time as a collegiate isn't the period to Sinfonia. It's just a comma. Well, like one of many, but that's alumni stuff is a whole nother talk we can do at some point. But anything else before we move on to the very last section?
I'm going to have to depart, unfortunately. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Gordon. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
Stay sane-ish. I said ish.
Alrighty. Well, if we want to scooch on down to the last section. So what this is here is putting your transferable skills to work. So obviously we don't have to worry about doing all this here right now. But just kind of think over the course of the evening. Like, what are five skills that you consider to be your best transferable skills? Write an example of write an example of where or how you use each skill and rank the skills, with number one being the most important. So again, obviously we don't have to write things out, mainly because it's just Dave has the file right now. But this is kind of this is the reason to where we could share this document with you, to where either you could bring it to your chapters, you could bring it to people in general, you could use it in your everyday life. But this is something that is very important in helping to build just your transferable skills, because it goes everywhere. I could put the chat work and ask Aaron. Dave, whichever's easier for you or Aaron.
I've already got something on the index page ready for it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Just need the file.
Excellent. Excellent. So for example, for me, my number one skill, I would say, is taking initiative. And my example is being with CFAA. Just because before I was made president, right after the national convention, I was speaking to brothers who were involved with it and said, "Hey, is this still a thing? I'd like to be involved. Like to have events going and things like that." And not seeing things done, I just said, "Hey, like, I'd really like things to happen." And then the conversation popped up, and I was made the president for the CFAA. So now, taking that and going forward with it, being able to take events, make sure that, like, it's always suggested to have the event scheduled at least 4 weeks out. But for me, I said, okay, cool, let's double that to where people are very much more able to get to these things. So I try and schedule things 2 months out whenever we have them. And then that way I can go in and promote the events, things like that. So I'll do like a 2 month announcement, 1 month, 2 weeks, 1 week, week of, day before, something like that, to where that way as many folks are informed as possible. It might seem like a bunch of notifications and things like that, but at the same time, it's something that is important for us all. So that's just kind of like my investment into initiative, especially for the Alumni Association. But that's just one example for me. So if we want to hear a couple folks, like, what they think their number one skill is, an example and things like that, that'd be cool. You don't have to, but that'd be super neat to see what folks have for themselves.
I would definitely need to pore over this document with a little bit more detail before I would be comfortable responding to that, at least right now.
Fair point. Or you're that, or it may not have to be your number one, but like a top three, put it that way.
Now, I just did one of these self-evaluation things for HR at work after expressing my opinion of them pointedly at my manager. Yeah, no. I know what I'm good at. I'm good at listening and talking people off of cliffs.
Fair enough. Parker, Alex, how about y'all?
So I don't have any examples, but I think one of the biggest skills I have is sort of that, I guess it'd be delegating, sort of, but it's more of like pointing people towards the people that have the better answer than I do. Like, if I don't know something, it's like, I don't know this, but that guy over there, he knows like exactly the answer you're looking for down to a T. Go talk to him. So, you know, solving the solution quicker than just me kind of blabbering on. It's like, it could be this.
Yeah, so networking 100%. It's super important to have.
You stole my answer.
Well, it will expand then.
I guess the second one would be communication, because with 700 people relying on me to get beverages for the week or the month, depending on the volume, and me being the only point of contact now, I kind of have to be by default. In addition to being on the 27 admin team, as well as trying to revamp the BAAA here, again, by default, I kind of have to be on top of communication there.
You're the only POC for 700 accounts?
So I am inside sales, which is all of the like diners, bank stores, and chains that are too small to have a rep go there every week. And a good chunk of them do everything online, and it's just me spot checking.
Great.
So it's not as horrible as it sounds, but any of them need a sign or need a draft handle, that's all me.
You're busy.
Yes. And you can imagine the first thing I do when I get home from work.
Asleep.
Scream in your pillow?
No, I grab something from the warehouse that fell off the truck and just open it.
Yeah.
Remember, we're being recorded.
Which is why I said something from the warehouse.
Well, I have a somewhat of an innate knack for teaching or showing people how to do something and have it effectively go well, at least in a moment. I realized that more than with my job than anything. And another example of which I have been a contact person to train or to mentor somebody is when I taught one of my collectors my job. Now, I've also have a customized fit in which my assignment now is to make sure it's good for daytime television. In other words, clean up language. Unfortunately, he went to a different department, but when he became a supervisor for a short amount of time at a different area, they were so impressed with it. They were so impressed with the knowledge that he attained for just working, just being an overnight collector, that I received overtime for teaching a class of temporary assistants.
Sweet.
I can dig it. Alrighty. Well, anything else from anyone before we kind of wrap up the session here? All right. Seeing none, Brother Dave, I proceed to close.
All right. Well, I want to thank you to everybody who contributed to the discussion tonight. It was really, really interesting looking into all of these different categories and subcategories that were in here. Let's all thank Brother Phillips for facilitating this discussion tonight. That was wonderful. So that, I guess, wraps up the professional portion of the evening. Brother Angel.
Recording has stopped.